Your time and quiz. The kind of a man I want to be is the kind of a man Mark Hopkins is. No printed word, no spoken plea can teach young hearts what men should be. Not all the books on all the shelves, but what the teachers are themselves. For education is making men. So is it now, so was it when Mark Hopkins sat on one end of a log and James Garfield sat on the other. What does a log and a ship, a mountain, a road, a well, a back room, a synagogue, a temple, a seashore, a wedding feast, or a cross, an upper room, what do all of these have in common? Simply this, all of them were the classrooms of Jesus. It's not the shape or the size, the location or the appointments of the classroom that tell the real story. It's what goes on inside. It's the teacher and the pupil. The greatest teacher who ever taught used all of those I've mentioned and more, and who knows, he may have sat on a log too. For often he was in the mountain, and I dare say he sat down, taking whatever seat was handy. The greatest lessons of life were taught by the master teacher in the most everyday classrooms. He showed that everyday life is a learning opportunity. The big lessons sneak up on you, come at the most unexpected times and in the most unexpected places, and most often, or very often at least, were one-on-one. I'm amazed at the great and precious lessons he reserved for one student in an isolate moment. Note in Matthew chapter 5, verse 2. Verse 1 tells us he was in a mountain. And when they were all set, he opened his mouth and he taught them. And all of a sudden, on a mountainside, wide open out there, he taught the great lessons of blessing, the Beatitudes, we call them. Flip your page to Matthew chapter 7, verse 29. And here you have his preamble, his lesson about the house upon the rock or the house upon the sand. And it concludes, he taught them as one having authority. Then turn to John chapter 7. At the end of that chapter and on, you read in the 32nd verse, that the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. The 37th verse, he began to speak, and they obviously heard. And he talked about, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. In verse 40, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of truth, this is the prophet. In verse 45, then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? And the officers answered, never a man speak like this man. As I said, Jesus used everything but a log, and possibly that as a setting for his lessons. Consider these. He obviously used the temple that you would expect. And you read about it in Luke chapter 2. The lesson he taught was the most important thing in life is my Father's business. That's the first lesson he taught. And his parents were the students. But then in his deed, he went back and was subject to them and taught the lesson of subjection. He grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He was an approved person. He taught that. Later in the temple, he overturned the money changers. My house shall be a house of prayer. You've made it a place for thieves. He taught in the temple. You would expect that. Then in Luke chapter 4, very interesting passage. I love it. It's sort of the maiden message, at least his campaign address, so to speak, in his hometown. Luke chapter 4. As his habit was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they handed him the scriptures and said, "You teach today." And it was the prophet Isaiah who was under consideration, and he rolled the scroll and came to what we now identify as chapter 61, and he began to read, and he read the first verse as we would know it, and the first half of the second, and closed the book on a comma and sat down. And began to say, "Today is this scripture fulfilled." Very precise, he noted that a portion was being fulfilled and not the entire was being fulfilled in that moment. And they wondered at the gracious words that proceeded, and he began to talk on, and all of a sudden their marvel turned to antipathy and resentment and resistance, and they thrust him out and would have cast him over the brow of the hill, but he went on his way. He taught in a synagogue. But continue on in the life of Christ, and all of a sudden you'll see him at a wedding feast, teaching. Most unlikely place for a lesson. His mother learned a lesson, a puzzling one. She had obviously great confidence in him. They ran out of wine. She came to him, and it's almost like as if said, well, what do you expect me to do about that? The way the King James reads it, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Is that my problem?" She, I can see, shrugging her shoulders, walks off and says, "Well, whatever he says, do it." And the whole thing becomes a lesson. What he says, do it. And look at the results. Wow. I think that's one of the reactions that you get all the time, wherever Jesus is teaching. It's wow. He was wowing them all the time. Look again. A back room, late at night. It doesn't say it was a back room, but I think it must have been a back room because it was a sneaky kind of thing. It was way out of the way. Nicodemus didn't want to be identified and didn't want to be known. But you read it in John, and you'll discover that there he was in the back room. In fact, if you read the latter part of the second chapter, you'll discover that Jesus did not reveal himself to many people because of their unbelief and so on. But there was a man. And it opens the third chapter that way. Nicodemus, who came to the back room at night, and Jesus reserved one of the greatest lessons of all time for that one man. The new birth. You must be born again. If it were you, if it were I, we would have reserved that lesson for the big crowd. We'd have advertised and gotten the billboards and the whole bit. Marvelous revelation coming. Be there. Don't miss it. Jesus reserved it for one man. But what happened? The gospel record is the billboard. The message has been carried. And it's on the tip of myriads of tongues. Think of a well, John chapter 4. Jesus, weary from the walk, sitting on the well. Suddenly there's a woman. "May I have a drink?" "Wait a minute. It's not appropriate for you to ask me. I need a drink of water. Then he moves into the lesson and talks about the living water. Another lesson, great one, reserved for one person, harkens back to Isaiah, "Ho, if any man thirst, let him come and drink." But he talked about the inner well that springs up into life eternal. And he reveals that he's a man who can read the heart and knows the life. Let's talk about a ship. He was constantly in ships, in and out of them. And if you follow him, you might sometime be out of one too, like Peter. But he taught from the ship. It was Peter's ship. And he wowed Peter that day. He taught the lesson. Peter was tired, discouraged, frustrated, fisherman, hadn't caught a thing. I know what it's like. Went to catch big sailfish, and I couldn't even catch bait. True. I was in one of the greatest fishing spots in the world, Tahiti, and in New Zealand, couldn't even catch bait. I know what Peter felt. Jesus then said, "Go on out and throw your net in." "All right." And they caught a draught. Have you ever seen fish boiling? They're boiling up here at Issaquah or somewhere near there right now. Overabundance of salmon. I've seen salmon boil. So full is the river. That's fabulous. You wow every time. If you got any fisherman in you. If you don't, well, all right, forget it. But, and I've seen them in Alaska. I've seen humpies boil. Mark, are you here? Haven't we? Right. I caught my 50-pounder with him twice. What's the next one going to be? Yeah, a week later, they were throwing those 50-pounders back and going after the 60s. And over in that Mount what? Yumiyama or something like that? Iliami, that's it. I saw the reds boiling by the thousands, hundreds of thousands. I mean. So all of a sudden, Jesus said to Peter, "Throw out your net." And he caught a draught of fishes, and they were just boiling in that net. Peter, wow. What kind of a man is this? Lesson. Ship again, out in the storm, and there they were really wild. They woke him up. Frank Rice would tell me to say awakened him. And, "Master, don't you care if we perish?" Peace. And then they were wowed and said, "What manner of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey his voice." Moving on, look at the upper room. Take John chapter 14 through John chapter 17. The long discourse, the parting words before the cross, the lessons that he taught in what was more like a regular classroom, the promise of the Spirit, the vine branch relationship, the joy, the peace that he provides, the friendship that you have with him. And then he prayed and opened his heart and taught what the heart of a shepherd was like, even as he prayed for those he had been given and for those who were yet to come. Teaching, teaching. Go to a road. How many times he chose a road as a classroom. This time the road to Emmaus. This time only two people walking together. Discouraged, disheartened, downcast. Suddenly he comes alongside. He's incognito. They don't know who he is. He inquires. And they respond. Then, who would choose a road like that for one of the greatest expositions of Scripture? Beginning at Moses and through all of the prophets, he expounded what it had to say about him. Wouldn't you like to have heard that lesson? And when it was all over with, their hearts burned within them. He taught what spiritual heartburn is all about when the scriptures really come alive in your life. Taught it on a road. Finally, go to a seashore. Few of us spend time studying scripture and so on when we're on the seashore. Again, we're thinking fishing. But in Luke chapter 24, verse 36, take a hold of me, shake my hand, see, I am alive, and I am alive physically. To further affirm it, give me some fish, give me some honey. I want to eat, I'm hungry. I am not a ghost. The spirit hath not flesh and blood as you see me have. I'm alive. One big lesson they needed to learn was the resurrection was real. And it was cornerstone to all that he did. I'm alive, I'm alive. Learn it, feel it. And by the seashore, he not only taught the many, but he taught one, Peter. And you read it in John 21, the great lesson of love. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. And he moved Peter from being a fisherman to a fisher of men, to becoming a shepherd of the flock. He had told Peter when he first warned him, you like those fish? I'll make you a fisher of men. Before he left him, I'll make you a shepherd of the sheep. On the seashore. What does all this say? I'm here to suggest that Jesus is still teaching. Teaching all who are willing to hear. And he's still teaching at odd places, at odd times, one-on-one, through strange experiences, when least expected. And these great lessons of life need to be learned by us, each one, individually. And I suggest that one of the best places in the world to learn some of those lessons is right here, in the formal setting and in the informal setting, as you associate one with another and with the professors and others of this campus. What does it mean? Pick your mentor, pick your teacher, pick on a faculty member, if you will. Make a friend. Go out of your way to do it. Maybe even a fellow student will become special in your life. I know in one way that can happen, but I'm talking about another. Your pastor, your associate pastor. You're slow this morning. Think of the faculty. I want you to know that I am totally impressed with the strength of the faculty that we have here at Northwest College. I want you to know that. And more and more. I did a little mental calculation and recollection of what's going on. The way they are improving as they are seeking to improve you. Mrs. White, who will be full-time next year, is in her final stages of her doctoral program. Professor Johnson's away in his doctoral program right now. Dr. Parlatz is in his second doctoral program. Professor Leggett is in his second master's program. Professor Hobson was just admitted into a doctoral program at Gordon-Conwell and will be engaging in that. Professor Turner is in the final moments of his doctoral program. This is going on right now. These faculty trying to improve themselves as they seek to be your mentors and your improvers. Take advantage of that. And above everything, pick out people. Think of people who will communicate the great lessons that Jesus taught. They need to be learned over and over and over. Whether in the formal setting or in the informal, the close association. I sat at lunch the other day with a former student here, recent graduate, now a youth minister. And I'd forgotten totally the incident. But he said, you were in the cafeteria one day and you saw me and you came over and you sat down. And he put it this way, he said, all of a sudden the preach came on. And he said, you gave me 4 points. And he listed them. I'd forgotten them. But he said, it changed my life. His testimony. It happens over and over. You can look back in the moments in your life. What I'm eager to hear you, have you hear and understand today is that those moments will come and come and come. Be open to them. Expect them. Believe that standing somewhere in the shadows, you're going to meet Jesus, the one who cares and understands. And you're going to learn in that moment because that's the habit of the master teacher. A log, a mountain, a ship, a roadway, an upper room, a synagogue, a temple, a seashore, wherever, he'll be there and he'll teach. Let's stand together. I won't take time to sing it, but in your hymnal on page 115 is a great hymn. Open my eyes that I may see. Glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open mine eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. And let's go with that prayer on our lips. God bless you.